Thousands have been turning to Neil Sperry for gardening advice since 1970. You can call him now at 214-787-1820 or 800-288-WBAP. That's 800-288-9227. Once again, here's Neil Sperry.
Thank you, Mary Travelin, very much, and welcome to our third and final hour for this Sunday morning. And we are joined, as we always are on Sunday morning, by Jimmy Turner, the Senior Director of the Gardens at the beautiful Dallas Arboretum. Jimmy, good morning. You're going to talk about lobelia.
Yes, sir.
Are you promoting lobelias?
Yeah, I put that on there because, as you know, we both know, it's really kind of a bad plant for us, usually. The lobelia, you buy in little 4-inch pots and you pay $1 for seed growth. There's a new variety called Techno Heat, which is a cutting grown variety, and they sent this to me about 3 years ago, and it took 3 years to convince me that they were kind of right. It does have more heat resistance. It's not going to survive July in Texas, but it will go from now till then. So if you kind of got the spring itch because we've got a few sunny days and it's 70 and you want to go out in the garden and plant something that can take a light frost and actually make it till April, May, you know, a couple of months of color is not bad. Bright, deep, true blue flowers, great in hanging baskets, pots, containers, window boxes. But about June 1st, June 15th, as soon as we start hitting that 100 degrees and 90s at night, it just kind of curls up and dies.
But you also have a lot of heat-proof plants, flame-proof, as you refer to them, that that can be planted in replacement then for the summertime. But to get that blue color late in spring and into early summer is pretty unusual. Blue is by far the hardest color to come by in landscaping, isn't it?
Absolutely is, and it always, this one's a striking, glowing, kind of neon blue. It's one of those blues when you see it go,
oh my goodness. Yeah, it takes your breath away. It is Techno Blue, T-E-C-H-N-O, and I see it in garden centers, so it's available.
Yes, sir, it's out there.
All right, Dallas Blooms begins on March 3, and it extends how long, when to mid-April?
It goes to the first week of April this year, because we'll be getting ready for Dallas or Patchouli, so it's going to go for April, I believe April 14th is the last
day. Yeah, it's a big event, and the gardens already look terrific. Folks, you need to become a member of the Dallas Arboretum Botanic Society, and then you can go as many times as you want. You can go every lunch and walk in the gardens if you want to do that just for the exercise and never have to pay another admission until your renewal comes up the following year. Get a family membership, and you all can go, and it is so fun. Jimmy, I want to kind of do a generic mention of the education department. Through the course of a springtime and through the course of a year, education has a lot of great things, and people can always go to the education webpage within DallasArboretum.org and find out what's upcoming in the near future and sign up for it. Is that correct?
That's correct. Just go to the webpage, click on education, and it breaks it down by gardening, special interest, special speakers. You can kind of find what you like. Sign up online, or you can call and talk to a person live and sign up that way. Either way, but it gives our whole listing for the year and what was every weekend, who's the speaker, what they're going to be talking about.
There is so much offered there, and it's a wonderful array of speakers. And then the education number directly into the education department is
214-515-6540.
Folks, you've got to get to the Dallas Arboretum. You need to see Jimmy's trial gardens. You didn't plant many pansies, did you? About 10 billion.
There's only about 700 varieties.
Holy cow. And Jimmy, I hope I didn't offend you recently when I sent you the photo and when I put it up on Facebook of my favorite photo I've ever taken at the Dallas Arboretum, and there was not one flower in it. And that was of the crepe myrtle alley. That is just so inspiring. It just makes me, brings a flutter to my heart to think about how pretty that was on a cold winter day. It's been a week or two or three ago, and it's just beautiful. So everywhere you turn at the Arboretum is just beautiful. Red Maple Rill, what special do you have planned for that coming up in the springtime? Is it going to be a ribbon cutting or something?
We've got a ribbon cutting coming on, another kind of, we've already done the big cutting, but I think everybody's not really prepared yet for how beautiful Japanese maples are when they first leaf out in the spring, what the color they'll have, and there's about 200,000 Carlton daffodils planted underneath the whole garden. So,
will you tell us when that's at its prime?
I absolutely will.
Somehow I figured you would. How do they find you?
We're at 8525 Garland Road, and that's on the southeast side of White Rock Lake. Just take I-30 over to Grand Avenue, go north, and we'll be on the left-hand side. If you want to come from the north, just follow down Garland Road. If I can get my road straight here, Garland Road, look for the brown signs that say Dallas Arboretum.
All right, that's the Dallas Arboretum, where Dallas Blooms will begin March 3 and run through April 14. On the web, it is DallasArboretum.org, and the 24-hour information number,
214-515-6500.
Super. Thank you, Jimmy, very much. Talk to you next week.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right. And that report is sponsored by Norway Irrigation. I've known Bill Jensen for more than 40 years. Norway Irrigation was founded in 1983. They have served all of the Dallas-Fort Worth area and the surrounding counties faithfully ever since. Thousands of happy customers, and I am one. He, Bill Jensen, and Norway stand for quality service and affordability. They feature WeatherMatic equipment, including the SmartLine controllers that can save as much as 30 or 40% in your water bill. I know from firsthand experience. They have a long history of working with architects, designers, homeowners, and landscaping companies on all sizes of projects, large and small. They also offer the finest in troubleshooting and service on all types and brands of systems, even if they didn't install them. Norway Irrigation. For quality service and affordability, 972-446-3292. Norway Irrigation, 972-446-3292.
Hi, this is Michelle Shook, Sales Director for Neil Sperry's Texas Gardening and Gardens Magazine. Interested in advertising? Give me a call at 972-562-5050. 972-562-5050. And now, let's get back to Neil.
All right, and we're ready to get right on to the calls. Let's go to Susie in Eula. Susie, this is Neil. Good morning. Thank you for waiting.
Hi, Neil.
Hi.
It was a pleasure waiting. You're worth it.
Thank you.
hey, I have a couple Zephyrin Druins. They're 18 to 19 feet high. And I'm just kind of questioning if I prune them, how far do I prune them back? Do I prune the entire plant or just pick and choose?
Help me with that. I have not grown that variety. I am going to sound like a completely ignorant horticulturist. Is that a spring-only bloomer or does it bloom on through the summer?
It blooms profusely in spring, and
sure.
Then it cuts down in the summer, and it comes back in the fall.
All right. You would want to prune it after the major spring bloom. If you have branches that are hanging out in the driveway or the walk or something, you could certainly do selective pruning now just to keep it tidy. But the major pruning that you would do would be immediately after the major spring bloom, and you've got to determine what your game plan is. Are you trying to get it back to a certain height? If so, then hopefully it's a reasonable height. And you would just remove any weak canes that are obviously not going anywhere, not doing anything, not blooming well. And then head back the major canes by a third or 40% or something like that. It is not as precise an answer as I would give on bush roses. It's a very different answer. In fact, you don't have to prune them, but if you feel that they're rangy or just a little bit larger than you want, you can prune them. The time to do so would be right after they bloom for climbing roses.
All right, that would be both in the spring and the fall, or just
primarily in the spring after the spring bloom, and then tidy up from that point on the rest of the other 50 weeks out of the year. You just tidy them up as needed.
Okay, wonderful.
And I'm glad you called. Thank you so much.
Happy birthday to Ella.
Oh, thank you very, very much. Thank you. All right, let's take a break, and we will come back to Bob in Carrollton. So, Bob, stay with us, please. Are you ready to get that beautiful landscape you've been wanting? Do you need the peace of mind that comes with knowing it'll be handled professionally beginning to end? Well, then call Covington's Landscape Team. Any one of their talented designers can design and install every facet of your landscape. They can also update and add pizzazz to your existing gardens. Joe and Gail Covington started Covington's Nursery and Landscape in 1972. It's grown to be an 18-acre nursery with a dedicated team of professionals and the highest quality plants you'll find anywhere. Due to their commitment to quality, they made lots of lifetime customers and thousands of beautiful gardens. Call Covington's at 972-475-5888, extension 5 for the Landscape Division. 972-475-5888, CovingtonNursery.com, 5518 Liberty Grove Road at Highway 66 in Rowlett, 12 minutes east of Central via George Bush. Covington Nursery and Landscape Company. Recent rains have eased our drought conditions, but they've made things even tougher for our foundations. Neil Sperry for Advanced Foundation Repair. Rainwater causes heavy clay soils to expand, and we have foundation issues. You need to call Advanced. Their patented ProLift foundation repair system is backed with a transferable lifetime warranty. That's Advanced Foundation Repair, 214-333-0003. FoundationRepairs.com. Advanced Foundation Repair. When you're planning your home's landscape, it's really important that you choose the right tree for the right place. Encore Electric Service Delivery is the company that keeps the lights on, and they don't want trees to affect your electrical reliability or your safety. This is a great time to think about new trees you're going to be planting and what kind you'll get. Before you do, learn more about planting the right tree in the right place from Encore's Know Before You Grow website. That's Encore, Encore.com/KnowBeforeYouGrow. Here's the basic concept. Nobody wants to have a tree that has to be flat-sided or V-shaped, and so therefore you don't want to plant the large trees near power lines. Encore's job is to keep our power on and flowing all the time so that we're never without power. And we have to do our part. If you're going to be planting near a power line, you need to be planting small trees, types that will stay small at maturity, otherwise 50 feet away. Encore.com/KnowBeforeYouGrow. You can help us all. Hi, this is Neil Sperry. Substance issues can crop up in any family. When you have a youngster in rehab, it's scary to think of that child going back to their old campus. Serenity High in McKinney offers a chance at a sober high school graduation. For more information, go to serenityhigh.org or call 469-742-7830. That's Serenity High in McKinney. Arborological Services, the experts your trees deserve, serving the Metroplex with the finest in tree care since 1981. Follow my lead and call the leaders in the tree care industry, the people who have won the awards. Two of their people selected as Arborists of the Year. Their tree climbing crews have won the Texas State Tree Climbing Championship 20 out of the 30 times it's been held. They do everything from routine tree maintenance all the way to heroic tree care and detention and saving. They are serious about trees. The Dallas area number is 972-442-1524. 972-442-1524. In Tarrant County, 817-849-1160. 817-849-1160. On the web, arborological.com. On Twitter, at The Tree Experts. On Facebook, Arborological Services, Inc. Arborological Services, they are the best. And we go back to our phone lines now. Let's go to Bob in Carrollton. Bob, this is Neil. Good morning, and thank you for calling.
You bet, Neil. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Got a couple of questions for you. I've got a Indian hawthorn out in the front of the house. On the right side, as you face the house, they're full. They're green. They look very healthy. On the left side, they are really in stress. They get the same amount of water. They're on the same sprinkler zone.
Same variety.
I've got some small birds that seem to be nesting in them right now, but they look bad before the birds started to, you know, nest there.
Have you seen any signs of maroon freckles on the leaves of those plants?
No.
Have you looked closely?
Yeah, and I've actually taken them to a couple of nurseries, and you know, I've gotten conflicting stories. Either not enough water, too much water. They just start to turn brown, and then I've got sections that are just completely brown, and you know, they're, you know, actually dead.
All right.
Trying to figure out what to do.
Well, and I can help you. It would really help if I were there. Don't assume that because they're on the same station of a sprinkler system that they get the same amount of water. For example, the bed preparation on one side may be very different than it is on the other side.
Okay.
And just hear me on this. I'm going to give you three or four possibilities, and you'll see how hard it is to diagnose this. And I'll just I'm just going to do a monologue here for a second.
All right.
The you will see individual differences in plants that are driven by what's below the ground in them and by the drainage. Maybe one area is higher than the other or lower than the other. So those are all possibilities. I lost part of a bed of Indian hawthorn years ago in Farmer's Branch to cotton root rot. It began at one end and it took the plants out. They are in the rose family and they are highly susceptible to cotton root rot. So that could be happening. That is a sudden death. It will cause the plants to look wilted and then dead over a period of a few weeks. I have also lost a couple of beds at my home in McKinney, where we've lived for 35 years. I've lost probably 15 Indian hawthorns to Entomosporium fungal leaf spot. That one travels more slowly. It begins with the maroon freckles that are about pinhead-sized, a little bigger, not quite BB-sized, on the leaves. And you look at them and think, well, that's just a little spotting of some sorts, like freckles on a redheaded boy. It's no big deal. It's part of life. And then you realize, oh, I think these plants are getting weaker and the leaves are dropping more than the others. And that will happen on one side of a bed. It'll move through a bed. And it won't necessarily be over there on that other bed. So that's a possibility. Drought is a possibility. Cold damage is a possibility. Not too likely in the last few years, although last winter was pretty bad on them. So it's a little bit of all of that, and it's hard to be specific. But dead's dead, and it's probably time to replace them, and you may want to switch off to some other type of plant on that side that's died and enjoy the others. They don't have to be symmetrical in most cases. Most of our homes are not symmetrical. They're not mirror images, and so it's okay to have different shrubs.
Well, I would think with all the rain we had yesterday, it may be a drainage problem, because I noticed that I had water spilling over the gutter into that bed.
When did you first see this problem?
Oh, it started last summer.
All right. A drainage problem, huh? I don't think.
Well, from the standpoint of, water standing in that particular bed.
Right. I understand, but we didn't have any rain last summer.
Well, I know, but I probably watered more than I probably should have.
Okay. I'm going to say something. I can't, first of all, I can't get to the answer for you, Bob, because I can't see them and haven't watched it. But I will tell you that from landscapes that I have watched and from conversations I have had in 41 years of being in Dallas-Fort Worth, I think I can count on one hand the time that somebody overwatered a plant, and I would need the hands of the city of McKinney to count the times that people have underwatered plants.
Yeah,
that is much more likely, and it can happen in an insidious way, because Indian hawthorns really don't show much sign of drought until it's too late.
Right.
It's much more likely that, or cotton root rot, than it is overwatering, especially if you didn't see it until summer last year. Were these plants, one last question, were these plants in the ground and growing in June 2007?
Yes.
And did anything change between 2007 and 2011 in terms of the guttering?
No.
2007, we had 20 inches of rain. How'd they survive that if it was overwatering?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I rest my case. I think we're good.
Okay, all right.
Good luck with them. I hope I helped a little anyway. Thank you, sir. All right, let's go to Brandon in Wiley. Now, Brandon, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning, Neil. My question is, I need something that's real dense and thick that will cover an alley. I have a 4-foot chain link fence, and I'd like to cover that alleyway so my dogs don't just sit there and bark at all the guys walking by.
All right. How tall? Well, they're still going to bark. They'll hear them. That's going to be the problem.
Sure.
Yeah. How tall and how tall does it need to be, and how wide can you afford it to be?
It could be, I'd like to maybe just stay around 15 feet. I don't want to get too crazy. And then as far as the length, I've got about maybe 50 feet or so.
All right. Can you come into the yard 7 or 8 feet?
I could.
Okay, because anything is, I don't want to see you put a columnar plant across the back. I don't want to see you put a bunch of telephone poles back there. So I'm going to suggest a big soft shrub. I'm going to have 3 or 4 I'll suggest.
Okay.
Number one choice, without any question, if it were my yard, would be Nellie R. Stevens Holly. I gave that to another caller not too long ago. Nellie R. Stevens Holly. You could also use Oakland Holly. It'll be slower to get up there, but it's a very deliberate grower. It'll get 10 or 12 feet tall. Nellie R. Stevens will get taller. You can keep it at 12 to 15 feet without any problem. And Nellie R. Stevens holly would probably be a lot less expensive in a large size than the Oakland holly would. And then other choices would be Ely Agnes, the variety called Ebengi, E-B-B-E-N-G-I. And Ely Agnes is the overall name, and it's E-L-A-E-A-G-N-U-S. Any good independent nursery will know what you're talking about and can show it to you. That one will have a hard time getting more than 10 feet tall. So that's the thing that worries me a little bit about it. Glossy Abelia would be very attractive, and it gets 8 or so feet tall. And Waxleaf Ligustrum, one I have not called for a long, long time, would be a possibility. It's a good quick grower, and it gets about 8 or 9 feet tall, or 10 feet tall. Waxleaf Ligustrum, the really glossy one, not Japanese privet. That one is invasive, and it's much taller and rank. But waxleaf, you don't see waxleaf much anymore. I decided that I'm going to begin occasionally to recommend it because it really is a pretty durable shrub. So those are your best. I'd go with the hollies.
All right, Terrell, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling very much. All right, that opens the line. If you'd like to call, 214-787-1820, 800-288 WBAP, that's 800-288-9227. The Verizon number is #820. Let me tell you right now about Dixon Brothers, your resource for anything that touches water, including Atlantic rainwater harvesting products. With current drought conditions and water restrictions, capturing and storing rainwater to use later is more important than ever. Whether you need a small rain barrel or a large in-ground cistern, Dixon Brothers has everything you need to capture, store, and reuse rain or storm water. You get to help the planet while saving money on your water bill. Give Dixon Brothers a call at 972-288-7537 to get started so you don't lose another precious drop of rain down the storm drain. An Atlantic rainwater harvesting system from Dixon Brothers lets you become part of the drought solution, conserving rainwater for future use, cutting down on your monthly water bill, and in some areas even qualifying for tax credits. Use the water for your garden or to refill your swimming pool or garden pond. Dixon Brothers, the Metroplex authority in swimming pools, floating fountains, water gardens, and koi ponds. 972-288-7537. Open 6 days a week. DICKSON. 204 North Galloway in Mesquite. Dixon Brothers. DICKSON.
Opinions, ideas, agreements, disagreements. This is Life on your radio. 820 AM and 96.7 FM. WBAP.
Since 1983, three generations worth, it's the experts at WhizQ Stone. They've been leaders across the Metroplex, turning landscaping dreams into realities. With 22 acres of beautiful natural stone, flagstone, decorative cobblestone, boulders, river rock, and gravel, the skilled professionals at WhizQ Stone can help you have the outdoor living area you've always wanted. Visit their outside showroom of extensive displays. They'll inspire and help you create and design your personal outdoor paradise. With many different water features and seating areas, they've used every element in hardscaping and plantings to show the beauty of their products and how they can be used in and on your home. Visit and consult with the experts at WhizQ Stone at their display gardens, 4501 East Loop 820 South in Fort Worth. 4501 East Loop 820 South in Fort Worth. That's WhizQ Stone on the web. It's whiz-q.com. Whiz-q.com for WhizQ Stone in Fort Worth.
WBAP News Time now, 10:30. I'm Jerry Overton in the WBAP 24/7 newsroom. A Denton County Army recruiter dead, his wife hospitalized in critical condition after being hit by a passenger train in Louisville last night. Police say 32-year-old Brian Joseph Guay and his wife were walking on a railroad trestle over Lake Louisville about 5:30. 22-year-old Ashley Guay said to be in critical condition. Well, 2 days before the state holds its primary, Arizona Governor Jan Brewer announcing today she's endorsing Mitt Romney.
I'm going to publicly endorse Mitt Romney. I think he's the man that can carry the day.
Brewer making the announcement on NBC's Meet the Press. And the main opposition party in Germany appears to be poised to support the Greek bailout by the European Union. Germany's parliament votes tomorrow. Germany's main opposition leader says a Greek default could have incalculable consequences. WBAP News Time now is 10:31.
in Dallas over on eastbound I-30. You've got an accident on the ramp to go onto the Stemmons Freeway, 35E. There it is, causing some stop-and-go delays. Also in Tarrant County, Fort Worth, 360 northbound at Trinity Boulevard. Two of those right lanes are blocked off, involving a rollover accident. Traffic is a little slow. This report brought to you by Allstate. To get better protection with a personal touch, your local Allstate agent will help you get the coverage that's right for you at the best possible price. Find an agent near you at allstate.com. Dollar for dollar, nobody protects you like Allstate. With the 24-hour on-time traffic watch, I'm Katie London on News Talk 820 AM and 96.7 FM, WBAP.
And the WBAP Weather in Touch forecast, sunny and 65 today. The clouds will start moving in tonight. We'll drop down to about 50. Tomorrow, cloudy, 64, with drizzle possible during the day and maybe a chance of an isolated shower. More of the same on Tuesday and warmer Tuesday with a high near 76. Right now, we have mostly sunny skies. It's 53 degrees at DFW Airport. It's 10:32. I'm Jerry Overton, News Talk 820 AM, 96.7 FM, WBAP.
Jim Swayze. You know, sometimes you only get one chance, like making that first impression or remembering your lines on opening night or packing your first parachute.
Geronimo!
But books, music, and movies always get a second chance at half-price books. Now they're even paying cash for game consoles, games, and accessories. Our kids love that. Second chances are what Half Price Books is all about, and it's been that way for 40 years. Sure, they have tons of great new stuff, but the real treasures are the things that other folks have chosen not to pack up in trash, but to take to Half Price Books for cash. It's also why every Half Price Bookstore has its own unusual selection and surprises. When I sell to Half Price Books, I feel like I'm sharing a little piece of myself with someone I may never meet. I think that's kind of neat. Half Price Books. Real books, real treasures, real cheap. 20 neighborhood stores, including Cedar Hill, Garland, and in Arlington on South Cooper. Find out more at hpb.com.
The next best thing to new is Dow Worth Clean. Their phone number is 214 or 817, then Metro 267-8433. Dow Worth Clean. You can rely on Dow Worth to clean, restore, repair, even replace carpets, hardwood, tile and grout, natural stone, and fine rugs. I've told you about Dow Worth for more than 31 years. Right now, pay only $29 per area, five areas or more of carpet cleaning. Book online at dowworth.com for additional savings or call them, as I mentioned, tomorrow at 214 or 817-267-8433. You can count on Dow Worth Quality and Service. They've won the Consumer's Choice Award every year it's been offered. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Dow Worth Fine Floors is at 8509 Davis in North Richland Hills, open 6 days a week, and it's beautiful. Again, 214 or 817-267-8433. $29 per area, five areas or more of carpet. Deep down, Dow Worth Clean, dowworth.com.
Join Neil Sperry on Facebook. That's N-E-I-L-S-P-E-R-R-Y. And join him right now. Once again, here's Neil Sperry.
All right, and back to our phone lines, and we go to Kathy in Fort Worth. Kathy, this is Neil. Good morning. Thanks for waiting.
Good morning, Neil. I'm trying to make my question concise here. Is it true that there are pre-emergents that are safe to use in shrub and flower beds?
Pre-emergents theoretically only go after plants that are already growing and, that have not yet sprouted. Let me just backwards. That where they only attack seed as it tries to sprout. So plants that are already growing are normally not bothered by them. The product that is most typically recommended in shrub and perennial gardens would be one called Amaze. A-M-A-Z-E. The thing you don't want to do is to use a pre-emergent in a bed where you intend to plant seeds later. For example, okay. A vegetable garden or a flower bed where you're going to be sowing seeds.
Okay, but I could use it in a bed where I would plant annuals?
If you're only planting transplants, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that probably would not be what I would do with annuals. Just, let's see, how best can I answer you? The pre-emergents form a barrier on the soil surface, and it inhibits root growth of the germinating seeds. If you were planting sod, brand new sod, down on top of a pre-emergent application, it would inhibit the root growth. I would be concerned that there'd be enough of the pre-emergent in the root area of a brand new little annual transplant that it might have some impact. I have no clue. I don't know. It's not recommended to be used that way. I've never seen research. I don't have a clue. I'm just admitting that. That's not the way they are intended to be used. Maize is absolutely intended to be used in perennial gardens where you are not planting annuals. And certainly it would be fine in shrub beds as well. In an annual garden, what I do, I have never used a pre-emergent in an annual garden. I put an inch of pine bark mulch down and I'm good to go. Very little comes up in that. Very little comes up through it, and what little bit comes up in the pine bark mulch from seeds that fall and land on it, I can easily enough get rid of with a hoe or something, and not by chopping them out, but just by stirring up the pine bark mulch. I've never had much of a problem with weeds in annual gardens. It's in long-term perennial gardens that I worry more.
Okay, and one of my shrub beds was just planted last August. What do you think it would be?
Absolutely fine.
Okay.
Absolutely fine. Good to go.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Let's go to Jay in the south of Denton area of Texas. Hi, Jay. It's Neil. How can I help you?
Hi, Neil. Thank you so much for what you do. And I just planted across the back of my yard 10 wax myrtles for privacy. And I'm wondering about the care and feeding of those so that I can get the most growth out of them in the shortest period of time.
All right. Let me give you a couple of answers. The first answer will be in direct answer to your question, and that is that they respond to nitrogen and they really do respond to water. They need to be in moist conditions. So apply a good lawn food that has all nitrogen or certainly high nitrogen, preferably all nitrogen, in a quality slow-release form. And then do not let them dry out. Drying out is just a kiss of death to wax myrtles. They are from an area that is more moist than we are in north central Texas. The second answer is, and it's only a preemptive comment, it's with my arm around your shoulder as I say this, you're going to hear me say something to somebody else another time if you listen very long here. That is not my favorite shrub. It has a tendency of dying out after 5 or 10 years, a branch at a time. And so I think a lot of times it's because it has been abused by not being kept moist at all times. But even with that, I see them just, I saw one yesterday that obviously it had 6 or 8 trunks and was down to one lonely trunk that looked like a mutt that had been taken to the groomer, and they left that plume out on its tail. And I hate that because I thought wax myrtle was going to be a good replacement for yaupon holly as a tall screen. But you'll see them around town. I think a lot of times if they had been kept more moist, they wouldn't have done that. So just be forewarned.
Okay, good. I put a dripper on each one.
Well, I hope it works. I hope that is the only reason that happens. It's, I really didn't want to make you, you know, there's a lady who used to give advice for everyday life on some of the local radio stations. She may still be there. I don't know. And you always felt worse when you figured that people felt worse when they called her because she'd yell at them. And I don't want to do that. But I'm not a big fan. I'm not a fan at all of wax myrtles anymore, and because they've broken so many hearts. I'm through. I'm zipping the lips on that. I'm going to put that arm a little more firmly around your shoulder and tell you that I hope you're the exception, and there are exceptions out there. Moisture.
Okay, and one other question,
sure.
Neil. What do you think about forsythia? I want to put a few of those.
I love forsythia. It's beautiful. Aren't they pretty right now?
Beautiful.
It may be.
Do you have any idea where a good place to get those would be? I haven't. Where I live, south of Denton, I haven't found any nursery that seems to be carrying them at this point.
Oh, you're killing me. You're just killing me because I know where they're sold. I saw them out in front of them. It's at Callaway's. They have them.
Okay.
And I haven't gotten mine yet.
Okay.
They're in most nurseries. They may not have them out front, but I know that the 3 or 4 Callaway's I've been past have them sitting out on the front. They are beautiful right now. Have fun with them. Those will do well for you. I appreciate your call. Let's see where we are. We're going to Larry in Keller. Larry, this is Neil. Thank you for waiting.
Neil, good morning, and thank you.
Yes, sir.
I have some peach trees that are in bloom.
And okay.
When I talked to your screener, she said that you would be able to make sure that we wouldn't have any more frost.
Oh, she promises the strangest things. You know, our average last killing freeze in North Texas is mid-March, and so there still is a very good likelihood that we could have one. The fact that we're in a warm trend across Texas is a good thing, but as of all of this winter so far, but you never know. And all it takes is one 30-degree night, and you won't have a peach crop on that on that particular tree. You may have a variety that has a low chilling requirement, and if that's the case, then it's going to bloom early every year, and that's not a good thing.
It does seem to bloom early every year. Yeah, they're dwarf trees, and I don't know exactly what the variety is.
You've got to have a variety that has a chilling requirement in the 700 to 800 hour range. That's the number of hours that we traditionally get in North Texas between 32 and 45 degrees. Not below freezing, but between 32 and 45 degrees.
If I'm replacing these, then what are you recommending for the variety?
Redskin is very good. Ranger is very good. Those are a couple that are very highly recommended. If you will look at neilsperry.com on my website and then click, there's a rectangle that has fruit variety lists. I have my laptop in front of me. Let me quickly get there. That Dr. George Ray McEachern gave us on Super Bowl Sunday when he was our guest. And let me see which peach it was that he recommended. Looking down the list, and wouldn't you know, he didn't give us a peach. Oh, Red Globe, number 8, the 8th easiest fruit crop to grow. Ugh. They're high maintenance. You bet. Appreciate the call. Thank you very, very much. Let's see where we're headed now. I got to get off that screen, and we go to George, Northwest Houston. George, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning.
How can I help?
I've got... I love azaleas, and about 4 years ago, I found a variety called Midnight Flare.
Yes, sir.
Which has just the blood red bloom, just the darkest, deepest red bloom. And I've got them all across the front of my house, but the left side of the front of the house has shade, and the right side gets morning sun. And on the right side, the azaleas tend to be a lot, they're smaller. There's not as many leaves, and I'm trying to, and I had one die out a couple of years ago, and I couldn't find a replacement for it, and I found replacements this year, but these say that they're going to be 6 to 8 feet tall. Same type of azalea, and I'm wondering if I want to replace all of them, or, and also I'm concerned about the fact that I'm having these problems with these azaleas in the sun.
Okay, and the ones in the sun are the ones I was trying to look up. Midnight Flare, you got my curiosity up. The ones in the sun are the ones that are struggling more?
Well, they've got morning sun, and then they struggle more, yes.
Well, morning sun and afternoon shade would be ideal for azaleas. They need some amount of sunlight, or they won't bloom very well. They'll bloom, but they'll not cover themselves with blooms. So if you had the ideal place for azaleas, you probably would have sun till 10 or 11 in the morning, and then you'd have light filtered shade until early afternoon, and then heavy shade for the 3 or 4 hours of mid-afternoon sun. Nothing like putting a whole bunch of restrictions on a plant.
Right.
But ideally, morning sun, afternoon shade, some variation of that. So if they're dying in the sun, in morning sun, then I really suspect that they got too dry at some point, because Houston was very, very dry last summer, just like most of Texas was. And I'll bet that's what happened. Had this happened before last year?
Yes. It happened the previous summer also.
Okay, well, it may be cooking them too much. I have noticed my times in Houston in the summer, it gets kind of hot in Houston. And in the sun, that may be more than they can handle. I think I interpreted a comment or question you were asking about the midnight flare that you have found, sounding like it might be taller. If it's midnight flare, it's going to be the same. It's a patented variety, and I don't think anybody's going to going to sell you a different variety and call it Midnight Flare, and suddenly it turns out to be bigger than the ones you already have. If you have found a source of it, then I think you can go with that. But I'm not sure if it failed once in your front yard, if I would go back with it in the same location, if you're sure it wasn't just 2011 causing the problem. George, did I come anywhere close to an answer for you?
Yeah, in fact, you, well, I'm been a fan for like 30 years. My wife and I have actually had discussions every this time of year for you about you, because I want to take my crepe myrtles and cut them back a lot more aggressively than she does. And she keeps saying, no, Neil says that's not a good thing to do.
Oh, man, not only did I give you a rambling answer, but now I'm taking her side on something. I can't win on this call. Listen anyway to your wife. Once again, she's smart, George. She married you. She's a smart lady.
Okay.
Have a good day. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. All right, we're going to take our last break, and then we'll come back to Steve in Garland. Steve, you stay there. Mark in Corsicana and Kenneth around Crandall. And so there we are. The message begins with Scott's Halts brand crabgrass preventer. Last year's drought devastation has weakened lawns, which will make it easier for those opportunistic weeds to take over this spring. Fight back now with Scott's Halts brand crabgrass preventer. It prevents crabgrass and other weeds even when your lawn is still dormant. It forms a barrier in the soil to prevent crabgrass, grasper, spurge, and oxalis, and other weeds from sprouting and appearing above ground. Scott's Halts brand crabgrass preventer can be applied alone, or it can be applied the same day as other lawn care products. If you have substantial damage to your lawn and plan a full renovation this year, don't seed or sod for 4 months following the application. Newly seeded or sodded lawn should be mowed 4 times before the application. One bag will treat up to 5,000 square feet. This is a weed preventer. It does not control established weeds. It does not contain a fertilizer. For more information, go to Scotts.com. Read and follow label directions. Scott's Halts brand crabgrass preventer.
Opinions, ideas, agreements, disagreements. This is Life on your radio. 820 AM and 96.7 FM, WBAP.
There's nothing like a Texas landscape, probably because there's nothing like Texas. Take, for instance, our legendary weather, 80 degrees one day, 30 the next. Throw in an epic ice storm, an extended drought, and a few tornadoes, and, well, it's a pretty unpredictable environment for anything with roots. Fortunately, landscape lighting is one constant for your great outdoors. No matter what the seasons may bring, soft, natural lighting from Lentz Landscape Lighting can put a simple lawn or an elaborate garden in its best light. Call us today and we'll send an experienced lens designer to visit your property, ensuring the ideal placement and angling of light beams in the perfect combination of cool and warm. You'll join Neil Sperry and other gardening enthusiasts in giving Lentz Landscape Lighting 2 green thumbs up. 972-241-0622. Lentz Landscape Lighting. We light the way you live.
Black cow, the mature manure black cow.
If you want the best-looking grass in the neighborhood, top-dress your lawn now with up to a half inch of Black Cow composted cow manure. This gives the dark, rich organic matter in Black Cow time to work its magic on your yard before summer arrives. Millions of beneficial bacteria begin to work, improving your soil. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Laying new sod this year? Spread a layer of Black Cow evenly over the entire area, then lay your sod. Have bare spots? Enrich the soil in those areas by working Black Cow into the native soil. You'll be surprised how quickly bare spots will fill in. For the best-looking grass this summer, apply Black Cow now. Look for the bright yellow and black bag at your garden center and visit us on the web at blackcow.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure. Black Cow.
My name is Samantha, and I'm a recovering addict alcoholic. Before Serenity High, I wasn't in school at all. I dropped out of school, and I was in a lot of trouble with the law court system, and I didn't really have anything going for me, and it just wasn't good. I found out about Serenity High through my IOP and my probation officer, and they just told me it was an amazing school. The staff at Serenity, they help you with your school day. It's more of a one-on-one kind of thing. Serenity High has definitely given me a lot of tools to help me see the goals I want for myself, and it's definitely given me tools to go after that goal and make it happen. For more information, call our principal, Julie, at 469-742-7830. On the web, it's serenityhigh.org. That's Serenity High in McKinney.
And we go back to our phone lines. Let's go to Steve in Garland. Steve, this is Neil. Good morning. Thanks for waiting.
Thanks, Neil. I have a small lean-to greenhouse facing south, and I'm going to start some seeds and some small plants to get them ready for borers. And I would like to use wick watering, wondering whether you like that, and if so, what kind of wick and what size of wick per container do you recommend?
I want to ask you what your purpose, what your goal, what your reason for using wick watering is.
Because I forget to water sometimes. Sometimes I'm away from the home for, you know, 2 or 3 days.
Let me tell you, I think a better solution for young seedlings, first of all, when you start seed, you want to start the seed in a totally artificial growing medium. I prefer half peat moss, Canadian sphagnum peat, and half perlite. And I will screen the peat moss through quarter-inch hardware cloth to get all the sticks and twigs out of it and to get the little clumps of it down to a small consistency. And then the perlite, I buy horticultural-grade perlite. The problem that I have with wick watering, it goes back to my days in a soils class at Texas A&M. The ideal soil, you got to hear this and tune in and you'll understand, the ideal soil is 50% solid matter, soil of some sort, and 25% water and 25% air. When you water from above, the water flows through by gravity and out the bottom if there's too much. When you water from below, when you have watered thoroughly with a wick or by submerging a plant, you are 50-50. It's half solid matter, half water. And what went away in that process? The air went away. That's right. So it's better to water from above. I would use a very fine mist watering device. And when you're going to be gone for a couple of days, probably the best thing you could do would be to lay a piece of dry cleaner's plastic loosely over the top of the plants so that you just kind of cut down on the air motion across them. Don't make it a bonnet that is airtight, or you'll get disease problems building up in it. Just try to cut down on the loss of water off the top of the soil surface. It's better to do that than it would be to try to water from below. Wick watering is it's one of those things that looks great on paper.
Okay. I appreciate
you called. Good luck with it. Thank you very much. Let me go to Mark in Corsicana, our next call up. Mark, this is Neil. Good morning and welcome. How can I help you?
Hey, Neil. Love your show.
Thank you.
I've got a lot of plants coming from the adjoining Arbor Society, and when I joined, they offered like 15 plants, some crepe myrtle trees, red maple. You know what I mean? When you join, they give you all these plants, and they're going to come in the mail sometime in February, I think. I'm not sure exactly when they'll ship them. They said February sometime, but when I get them, I'm renting where I'm at. So I don't want to plant them this year. I'd like to plant them next year. So what kind of pots, what size pots, what type of soil do I need to put these trees in so that they'll make it and I don't have to mess with them? I can just water them, you know, like a nursery, I guess. That's what I'm trying to get at. So.
All right, and how tall will the trees be?
They said it depends on which ones I got. You know, like I got a cypress tree that's supposed to be 3 to 4 feet. I got a red maple that's supposed to be 3 to 4 feet.
Right, those sound like 5-gallon trees and a good-sized 5-gallon pot. If when they arrive, that doesn't look like it would be sufficient, I would get 7-gallon containers. Landscape contractors who plant for a living may have some pots they would sell to you. Some wholesale nurseries, the retail wholesale, retail nurseries that have wholesale sales out of a side lot somewhere might have access to them where you could buy the pots from them. That's what I would do. And then a good potting soil.
That's what I want to know. What type of... I would use
a potting. You're going to have to make your own in that quantity, and probably starting with a sandy loam topsoil, and then amending it with pine bark mulch and maybe some compost or rotted manure or something. I don't think you can afford to go to the trouble you would for a really good potting soil you use for patio plants or whatever.
Yeah,
you might even be able to get a part of a load, a pickup load at one of the soil companies that does mixing of a landscape mix, yeah, something like that.
Okay, again, let me ask you one more time on the soil. So if I get soil and mix it up myself, I want to get like a sandy loam dirt.
I retract that answer. I delete that answer from my repertoire. I think you go to a company that sells landscaping mixes of various sorts. We can put you on hold. We have a referral we'll give you off the air. And that would be a better place to get it. Get a pickup load, and that'd probably be enough for what you need.
I take my truck up there, maybe line it with a plastic liner, and they dump me a big load in there, and I take it and use it like that.
Absolutely. Your truck must be cleaner than mine. Plastic liner's not
all right,
necessary.
One more thing. If the plants are like 1 to 2 feet or 6 inches to 1 foot
smaller
tall.
Smaller pots. You just need to get the pot that looks right with the size of the plant. Prune the plants back by 50% to compensate for the roots that are going to be lost in this digging. And the best answer of all would be, could you not take delivery a year from now? Would they not give you credit and just let you take it later? That would be so much easier. I got to run. I'm out of time. Okay. But that would be my recommendation. Folks, we have less than a minute left, and I want to thank Randy Williams, Michelle Shook, and also R.J. Williams for helping our program be very, very good today. And, of course, Jerry Overton in News Department and all who have made this program a success. I thank you very much. A couple of questions I am being asked repeatedly right now. What do I do if my roses are growing? Should I prune them? Yes, prune them by maybe a third and do some selective pruning if you didn't get it done earlier. Bad on you, and you need to do it sooner next year. Pre-emergent applications pretty much on target for the first week of March. There's no point in rushing that. So I don't see any reason there. Those are both important and somewhat timely things. I have enjoyed very much being with you. I hope you'll join me on my Facebook page, NEILSPERRY, or at neilsperry.com. Until next week, thank you so much for listening, and happy gardening.